Hello and welcome back to another episode of Biff Pal Bam. As always, I'm your host, Paul, and joining me is Tony.
Hello.
And for his final episode, our Josh, after 7 years. This is it.
This is it. This is the final run.
Yeah.
Hey. Yep.
I had two, sorry.
a slight jog.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
A quick sprint
so,
up to the co-op.
Yeah. So, as we said on the last episode, this is our thoughts on The Flash. He finally made it to the big screen in his solo film. It's only taken nearly a decade since Ezra Miller was cast.
As slow as a flash.
Well, maybe he went back in time.
Yeah.
If he was going back in time, he could have changed some better things than that.
Yeah, I guess so. So as always, we're going to do what worked and what didn't. I'm going to chuck it to you guys as always to kick us off.
Josh, you want to kick this one off?
Yeah, and I've got two words. Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Yeah,
that man coming back as Batman was never, ever, ever going to be a bad thing.
No.
Ever.
Although, there is a bad thing about that, is that we were
yes,
now
I
robbed.
I think I know what you're going to say.
The Batwoman performance. So.
Yeah, and Batman Beyond. Yeah. And the Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. For me, the whole Batman thing works so yes. well. The fact that they brought everything back, same Wayne Manor,
yep.
the Batmobile's there, the Batwing.
I was going to say, and seeing Barry interact with two different incarnations. Two and a bit different incarnations.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute.
No, let's just stick with two. We don't count that third one.
What? We're not talking about Ben Affleck?
No.
I just thought the whole thing worked really well. The only bit I've kind of want to pick apart, don't like Batman being in daylight.
No. I'm
horrible.
With you on that, yeah.
It should be in the dark.
How the hell is he still so sprightly in that kitchen as an old man?
The only thing I'll say about Batman being in the daytime is not that version. So not Michael Keaton. If it was Ben Affleck, if it was George Clooney, like I don't care, but not Michael Keaton.
No, he was very much a bat in the shadows, wasn't he? So
yeah, just
even
and that was the only thing that didn't work.
Yeah, even
Bale did.
Well, we saw him in the daylight, didn't we? Quite often.
Yeah, even
like the whole fight scene with Bane is all in daylight. But
yeah.
Keaton was never spotted in daylight in his films.
No.
So that was the only thing I didn't think worked with Keaton's reappearance. I thought the fight scenes were great with him.
Yeah.
And as the bat suits, I love the bat armory. I thought that was great.
Do you know the one that actually made me go a bit giddy is the fact that we saw Michael Keaton's first Batman suit, not like the 1989 suit. I mean, like his very first when he was first starting out as Batman. And
I like that they had variants on Affleck's suits in there as well.
Yeah.
Like there was the scuba suit.
Yeah.
On one side, and you got the black and grey suit, the blue and grey suit in there as well.
Yeah.
I really like the variation, and I quite like the new Batwing as well. I thought that was quite a nice design.
Loved it.
It was just a shame we didn't get to see the Batmobile in action.
Yeah. What I really loved was the fact that in the 89 film, you could tell that the different parts of the Batcave were sets that were, you know, miles apart on the stage. Yeah. Whereas this one, you saw it in its entirety. You could literally place exactly where the Lazy Susan was, you could see exactly where the back computer was, where the back wing would hang with the waterfall behind it. Honest to God, just fleshing out that was just beautiful.
Yeah, and that's why I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, the machetes, or however you say their surname. I think he'll do a good job on Brave and the Bold.
I'm not sold, only for the fact that a lot of the Andy Muschietti films are quite heavy CGI. For example, The Flash, for example, It. Now, I worry that for me, and this is just me, Batman is supposed to be a practical superhero because he has no powers. So that's why you get the likes of Matt Reeves as Batman, where the scene where he fires the grappling gun right up to the top of the GCPD, and that scene is basically done for real.
Yeah.
And that's what sold that film to me so much more than a lot of the recent, like, well, I'd say probably more so the Nolan films than anything Ben Affleck was in.
Yeah.
Simply because I'd say Nolan relies quite a bit on CGI, but his is because it's in everything he does is set in a believable world. He got away with it.
Yeah.
And that's what worries me about Muschietti, in that I think he'd be more suited to possibly even Superman. I know Gunn has like locked that in for himself, but I think Superman, Green Lantern, I'd probably even give him The Flash again if they decide to completely reboot it.
Yeah.
Just give him just tell him to steer clear of Flashpoint, for fuck's sake.
So I suppose on that point, let's bring up something that didn't work on that note. The cameos.
Don't fucking start.
In general, I thought they did a good job of recreating people. It's not until you expect them to move that their faces are just blank.
Yeah.
There's just nothing behind it.
Yeah, there's no emotion behind their eyes. There's no soul.
No. And you get away with it with Adam West because his face is covered anyway.
Well, not only that, it's basically just a voice cameo.
George Reeves as well. The black and white ones, because it's just basically they just take footage, isn't they? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But once you get to
Kara and Clark,
Christopher Reeve. Honest to God, the poor bastard must be turning in his grave.
And I thought Kara was worse because I didn't think they quite got her face right.
Well, I'm not being funny. How
we
hard?
Should say is Kara, by the way. That's what we're referring to. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how hard is it to deep fake someone in this day and age? I know Star Wars fucked it up a bit with Luke Skywalker, but they got the team in from YouTube, who did a better job than them, and they've uploaded the new version to Disney Plus.
Like, well, you would assume, as I mentioned to you guys on Messenger, you would assume it would be a case with the technology there, just lifting a couple of shots from their films,
exactly,
and banging it in the computer somehow, and then. Presto,
Or what would have even gone better is not necessarily deep faking a young Christopher Reeve, maybe even an older version on someone else's body, and get Helen Slater as she is now.
Yeah, well, let's just say even when they had the person in the studio, it didn't work.
Well, yeah.
Nick Cage was on set, his cameo was filmed, and then they fucked that up.
Scene itself blew me away to see that in there. Bloody hell, didn't expect that. Was that taken from the script?
It's John Peters is obsessed with giant spiders, who was the producer on Superman Lives. He dictated to Kevin Smith when he wrote that script that Superman had to fight a giant robotic spider. So Kevin Smith wrote it into the script. The script then didn't get made. So John Peters then went on and had it put in Wild Wild West instead. So eventually, the Nick Cage cameo is a joke. But look, I was excited to see him. I still hate that suit with a passion. Well, it's not Superman kind of, at all.
It kind of looks like when you order a Superman suit from Wish.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm.
It's too shiny for me. It's too shiny.
Yeah, it's like he's ordered a Superman suit, doused himself in Vaseline, and then put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but put the Vaseline on the wrong side. But yeah, and the fact that they had him on set, filmed it, then decided to de-age him by putting a CGI face over the top of him.
They didn't need to do that. He could have done it as an older Superman. Like, it would be like Nick Cage's version of Kingdom Come Superman.
Yeah.
That would have worked.
No.
You know what I'm saying on Superman, actually? The CGI of fucking Henry Cavill.
Big hairy Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you pick that shot?
I mean,
the one shot of him with no shirt on.
Yeah. Honest to God.
The thing with the CGI is I was prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt, Michelle, what he said about the other stuff where in the Speed Force, you can get away with it because it's more like it's not real people in there. It's very much like the sort of animation that you had for like Wakanda, showing you the history of Wakanda and all that stuff. It's that kind of otherworldly sort of representation of people. And that I could let them have a pass on, but the cameo ones just were, just terrible. Yes. And just they took me out of the film slightly, and that was unforgivable.
Yeah.
Tell you the one I didn't mind, the Jay Gareth one.
Yeah, because it wasn't anybody there. Yeah. It was just a random version of him. It does look a bit like Teddy Sayers, but...
No, loads of people on the internet are saying it's John Wesley Shipp.
Nah,
it looks nothing like him.
No, it's closer to Teddy Sayers, but it isn't him. They said it's just some generic Golden Age Flash.
Is he supposed to be in the same universe as George Reeves?
God knows. None of it makes sense.
It's just the sake of having some cameos, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then you hear about the ones that they cut out, and you go, "Oh, fuck for that."
What, Ryan Reynolds?
Well, no, it was meant to be Romero and. Of the Penguin or the Riddler
was meant to be there. I wouldn't have minded seeing him because I did used to watch the 66 Batman show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But
Linda Carter was meant to be there as well.
See, Linda Carter would have been boss if they'd have kept it in live action.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad they didn't put Grant in there in the end now because it would have solid his version.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. For me, they should have just put the scene in. That was in the episode.
Yeah, that's all he had to do, yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's supposedly when it happened.
Mm.
No, that's supposed to be when he runs back in time in the Justice League film.
Yeah, which is meant to be at this point as well.
Ah, right.
So
that all happens at one point, isn't it? Yeah, technically.
Yeah, because obviously at this point, Barry didn't know he could run back.
Yeah.
He finds that out at the beginning of the film. So it's all meant to be in that same sequence, but we don't see any of it. Like, that's another missed opportunity. Why don't we see him actually go back and tell Bruce?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just ignored.
Yeah.
So.
Bit choppy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to try and pick things up again then. I don't know if you two might differ, but for me, one of the things that did work with the massive revelation to me was the new Kara. I thought she was great.
And yeah.
She looked fantastic in that jumpsuit. And she's got legs for days, let's be honest.
Yeah.
She was great. And also her introduction, which is a bit of a shock that she's quite brutal. And then when you find out what happened to her cousin, you realize why, because she hasn't been, She hasn't been shaped in the same way as other versions that we know.
Yeah, basically, she's the Red Sun version.
Yes.
Yeah, actually.
The Russians have captured her.
Yeah. Yeah. And that scene when they take her outside is just fantastic. When she's feeding off the sun, I thought was brilliantly done.
Yeah, and that scene with Keaton when he's standing as they're about to start fighting.
Mm.
And they're like, how are you going to do this? And he steps to the side and she's behind him in the air. I thought that was a great shot.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I was kind of sad with her fate, but hopefully she will get to play that because of parallel worlds and stuff and multiverse, that she will come back because she deserves another crack at that part.
Well, to be honest, I'm hoping that she actually gets the full-time gig in the new DCU. Yeah, because I would quite happily see her in it. I'm not particularly interested anymore in the blonde girl next door type version of Kara. Mm. If I've now seen this, and I am perfectly happy to stick with it for the long run.
And arguably for me, she's the kind of quote unquote emo version of Clark that we should have had instead of what they gave Cavill to do. It didn't work for him, but it worked brilliantly for her.
Well, let's be honest, lads. This is what we've said about Henry Cavill as Superman from day dot. He suits like an Injustice, a Red Sun, Kingdom Come version of Superman rather than a Chris Reeve, you know, Truth, a Justice, and the Blood of All Mankind.
Yeah,
he's never been a Boy Scout, has he?
No.
No.
Right from the word go, he was already kind of going through the motions of kind of turning against Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right from the word go.
Yeah.
She
was great. And I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Josh, how about you for your next one?
I'm going to go for something. Actually, I'm going to stick with something that did work still. I actually really enjoyed just the plot in general. Yeah, okay, it's basically a rehash version of Flashpoint, which we've already seen, A, on the TV show, B, in animation, and obviously, first of all, in the comics. But I actually really, really liked this version.
And within that, basically the story is about Barry realizing that you can't win every fight. And it's just the manner in which he and we learn that lesson is brutal.
Yeah.
Two characters in one go.
The thing I will say, though, that annoyed me slightly is that there wasn't a reverse Flash element. Okay, there slightly was towards the end, but it was basically Black Flash rather than reverse Flash. The speed demon type thing.
He was like a bit of a Savitar character, wasn't he?
That's what I was going to say. Very much felt like Savitar.
Yeah. Mm. And don't get me wrong, I actually really like that. But as we said in the last episode with Into the Spider-Verse, I kind of saw that coming before it was physically revealed.
Yeah, I find from the moment that he ends up with that big pointy bit on his arm, I thought, this is not going to go well.
Straight away, I thought, right, okay, so he's that thing that was fucking running after him before. But Andy Muschietti handled the emotion of the Flashpoint story fantastically. I will say in Ezra Miller's favour that he acted it fantastically, especially the older version of Barry. Mm.
And that was kind of going to be my next thing, because I thought it was good and bad. I didn't think the younger Barry was very, very irritating.
Yeah, it was too irritating, wasn't he, almost? Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of took all the things we didn't like about his Barry.
Mm.
Yeah,
but the thing put him into that character instead.
Yeah, see, what I'd say in that defense, though, is that not how we would act alongside a younger version of ourselves? Going, fuck me, you're annoying.
Probably, yes, probably would.
Yeah, and I'm sure we would. I felt like at times they took that kind of nerdy, on the edge
version,
version of him and took all of it and exploded it.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, I kind of like the fact that then by the end of the film, they've basically killed that version and gone, right, this is the version of the Flash that you stuck with now, an older, wiser, more together version.
Yeah.
who's still slightly nerdy, but that's, you know, because he's more socially awkward, as Barry from the comics in the early stages was.
Yeah, but I just think it's, they've kind of tried to modernize that nerdy side of him.
Yeah.
And instead they've kind of made him like he's got autism, which I don't think works for Barry.
Well, tell you what, the question that then needs posing is, would you give Ezra Miller one last thing in the new DCU and then bring a new Flash in, or would you just completely burn that bridge right now?
I think they've burnt it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think with a lot of things that have gone on, he's burnt a few bridges himself, hasn't he? So
yeah, and that was something else I was going to bring up. There's a couple of moments in this film where we're a little bit too close to the edge with his problems, or their problems, should I say.
Yeah.
That I thought could have been cut out. Like, there's a whole scene about talking about going to see a mental health centre. And I just thought, really?
That's a bit on the nose.
Yeah, you're going to leave that in there? And then the whole thing with the kids as well, when he's been accused of grooming children, I thought was a little bit close to the nose as well. Yeah, there were a few moments throughout the film that I thought, you didn't really think about leaving that in there, did you? You've done all of these reshoots and you've not cut these things out.
Yeah.
And yeah, I, as the older Barry, I really enjoyed his performance this time. It was a lot better than what we'd seen in previous versions. So I will give him that. I thought they were very good.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Yeah. Right, I suppose I could pull out a negative now, I think. One that didn't work for me was the character of Iris. I thought she was completely wasted.
Yep.
Not drunk wasted. That would have been more interesting for the actress to do, I think, because she didn't have a lot to do, did she?
It
was a very nondescript character they gave her to work with. I thought it was very much of a waste.
Having been cut out of Justice League.
Mm.
And then to get what, two scenes?
Yeah. Was she was in the Justice League, that actress, was it? Was there a reprint?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the role, yeah.
Yeah, they brought her back.
Mm. And then gave her nothing anyway to do in this film. So,
yeah. Yeah. And someone that I thought, just before we move on that note, the Arthur Curry cameo. Why?
Oh, what the fuck was that at the end?
Well, why? You know what? I didn't even know there was a credit scene. I didn't even stay. I watched it on YouTube.
And I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm glad I didn't stay, because that was completely pointless.
Yeah, well, it was meant to be part of a longer sequence.
Mm.
So that Barry was meant to leave him, go back to the apartment to get him more beer, like he asked, and he was meant to have a message from Ben Affleck's Bruce saying that he was stuck. And that he had to come and find him, which would have been the next film. But yeah, they decided to keep half the scene in that makes absolutely no sense at all.
Bung it on the way.
Yeah.
Back the way.
Yeah. So as I suppose we better touch on the cameo that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, which apparently wasn't the original one shot.
No, that was meant to be part of that long sequence.
Mm.
Originally, the original one that was filmed was that it was Bruce and Kara, and it would have been Keaton.
Yeah.
Then they expanded that when it looked like Henry was coming back. So Henry filmed a scene with Diana as well.
Wow.
So that's why she gets that quick cameo at the beginning.
Ah, right.
Because they filmed both of them together.
He's a couple of hours, days work. Like,
and then that would have gone into that extended thing when they realise that Bruce is still Keaton, and then they do the whole thing of going back to the apartment, and Affleck's Bruce has messaged him.
Ah.
It was meant to be a whole long thing. And then obviously they decided that they were going to leave Keaton and Kara dead at the end of it and reshot it with Clooney.
Yeah, which I did not see coming at all. I thought it was going to be Affleck again because I didn't pick out anything from The Voice that was different. I thought, oh, he's talking to Affleck. And then when they did that pullback, I mean, what?
And he's as cheesy as ever.
See, the thing with the Keaton cameo, I absolutely wet myself when it shows that it's him. But then with the Arthur Curry cameo at the end, the end credit scene, I don't know if this is just me thinking too much into it, but it actually made the Clooney one make sense, and the then reported multiple endings make sense, in that basically Barry sees George Clooney, goes, who the fuck's that? Runs back in time, and it changes again, and it's Val Kilmer. He goes, who's that? Runs back in time. And then you get the version with Michael Keaton and Kara as Supergirl. Runs back in time again. And then he gets hit Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill. So he basically just keeps changing the timeline until he gets the one he knows.
That would have been interesting. That would have been worth seeing.
Shall I just go and work for DC now? Yeah.
But I guess that wraps everything up, really, doesn't it?
Literally.
Yeah, and a nice little bat nipple bow.
Not coming at all.
Yeah. So, final thoughts?
I said this, you guys aren't messing up. I mean, I said, given the troubled production and Ezra's
issues.
Four issues and DC's complete clusterfuck of everything that they touch at the moment. I was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did in the end. I come out of it thinking, I was all right, actually.
Yeah, as I said to you, it was good. It was good, easy watching fodder.
Yeah, definitely.
It didn't tax, despite the higgledy piggledy storyline, it didn't tax my brain. It was fairly linear, really.
Yeah.
There was no kind of, how does the multiverse work? It was clear how the multiverse works. He changed something and it changed the whole thing.
It's somewhat ironic that both Sony and DC have shown Marvel how you should actually do a multiverse story.
Yeah, and the worrying thing is apparently Deadpool's not far off.
Yeah.
Being a very similar storyline.
We're going to get multiverse overkill now, aren't we?
Yep. They seem like that's the only thing they can do, these comic book companies at the moment.
Yes.
So, yeah. We shall see. They're currently filming Deadpool 3 here in the UK. So.
Oh, have they resumed? I thought they were still Angle Fire.
No, Ryan decided they weren't. He was going to carry on going. Despite the fact that they told him he couldn't ad-lib because he's got writer's credit.
Is he still doing it? Is he still ad-libbing, do we think?
I don't think so. I think, because Hugh was here, I reckon they're doing the more serious stuff.
Until the strike's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until then he can have free range on ad-libbing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
the multiverse seems to be the end thing at the minute, doesn't it? So
I enjoyed it the same as you said, Tony. It was an easy watch. I went into it not knowing what was going to happen. Obviously, the box office has been appalling. It's only just crossed 200 million worldwide this weekend. It's not been great.
Going to the league, don't you? There's
Probably
that factor.
Yeah. And has lost its number one spot as we talked about on the last one. Spider-Verse has gone back to number one this weekend, beating both The Flash and Elemental from Pixar. It's really struggled. And all we can hope is that James Gunn's version of the universe figures itself out over the next couple of years.
Because I think the thing with this film is it was a necessary evil to close the book on the Zack Snyder verse.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no way you could dump this one.
No. But the thing that's puzzling me is how the hell Blue Beetle is supposedly gonna stride both universes. It's apparently the first film in the DCU.
Yeah.
And well, he's the first character, but it's not the first film, didn't he?
Yeah, because they've made it before he took over. It sounds like it was very easily to make it a standalone film.
Right, so it doesn't exist in either universe then?
Really, yeah. But I would imagine they've probably done some reshoots to tie it into the new one.
Yeah. You know this, but basically me and Craig went to see The Flash together. Not as like a date thing or anything, but
hands in popcorn buckets.
we just happened to be in the theater at the same time, and funnily enough, he was sat in the seat directly in front of me, and as the Blue Beetle trailer was playing, he turned around to me as I finished and went, "That looks like shit." My dad said that looks like shit. And Craig turned around and went, "I can't wait to watch that."
He looks fine, actually.
Yeah. I don't know whether I want to watch it, because if it's going to have absolutely no effect, I don't really want to waste my money on it. But if it's a good film, you know, I want to waste my money on it.
Well, the talk is that he will be part of the universe going forward.
See, now I'm happy with that.
Yeah, so am I, because it's a new character.
But the thing is, no one's expressly come out and said that. Why can't James Gunn just say, "Yeah, it's got some ties, so go and watch it." Yeah. But he hasn't. He said, "Oh no, it's got nothing to do with it, but the character will probably appear." Well, just, you know, which one is it, mate?
Just a couple of reasons. Add a couple of seasons and that's job done.
Yeah, exactly. They might introduce the new Superman.
See, now if they do that, I'm happy with that. So long as we don't get the moment from Ted 2, whereas the new Superman is Jonah Hill. Fuck!
So that wraps up our thoughts on The Flash. Josh, I just want to say thank you for all your help over the last nearly a decade.
Well, it's been my pleasure, so you don't need to thank me for anything.
Yeah. So we'll miss you, but I'm sure you'll pop in on occasion.
Oh, I'll come in for a cup of tea every now and again.
Yeah.
Reduce the contributor status now.
Yeah. Yeah. Our roving cinema reporter.
I'm sure we can find an occasional replacement from the same city.
Yeah, on occasion.
Yeah, we Scousers are like Batman. There's lots of us.
You wait for one and then 10 come along. So thank you, listeners, for joining us always. Tony, thank you for joining in as well. Remember, you can follow us on social medias at BPB Podcast Productions. We don't post loads, but we are always available if someone wants to message us. So thank you very much, everybody. And we'll see you on the next one when Tony and I will be reviewing episode 1 of Secret Invasion. Mm-hmm.